This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hello and welcome to The Great Indoors,
the podcast which reveals everything you ever needed to know about interiors and explains how to make it all really work for you in your home.
I'm Kate Watson-Smythe.
And I'm Sophie Robinson. And before we begin, we want to tell you about our lovely sponsors, Natural Mat, who make beds and mattresses by hand in Devon, using natural, organic and renewable materials with absolutely zero chemicals, synthetics or glues.
For me, one of the strongest reasons to buy Natural Mat is their sustainability credentials. I used them for a big project I did in central London last year. I was consulting on 5 apartments in a listed building, and we wanted to make everything as sustainable as we could. So in addition to using vintage furniture and eco paint, we also specified Natural Mat for all the beds.
And I have the Natural Mat bed and the hotel mattress in my guest room. And I've got to say, over the Christmas period, we had lots of people to stay, and they all mentioned what a beautiful night's sleep they had and how comfy the bed was.
Actually, I've slept in your guest room and I can wholeheartedly agree with them.
And I have the Natural Mat pillows and duvet on my bed too. And I can honestly say it's like sleeping in a cloud. You know, they've got that balance just right. Soft yet firm, and that, well, they puff up voluptuously. So how do they even do that?
To learn more about Natural Mat's organic beds and mattresses, head to their website at naturalmat.co.uk or visit one of their showrooms in London, Knutsford, Devon and the Cotswolds.
And if it doesn't get better than this, the Great Indoors listeners can receive 10% off their first order with Natural Mat, either online, in store or over the phone, by using the code The Great Indoors, which is valid until the 30th of April 2024.
Now, today, we're both just back from Paris, where we attended the annual Deco Off show, which is all about the next textile collections and collaborations that we can expect to see from brands over the next few months.
And we thought, you know, while we've got our eyes on the trends, it also ties in nicely with the annual Pinterest Predicts Trends report, which we covered last year. So we thought it'd be a bit of fun to see which predictions came true and what they're forecasting for this year.
Now, the thing about Pinterest is the report is based on what people, apparently some 482 million of them, are actually pinning on their boards. So it's not like a brand or a magazine deciding what it wants you to like in 6 months' time. This is what people are looking at now.
Pinterest calls it the Not Yet Trending Report, as it looks at what people are planning for their next big trip, their next home, their next outfit, or their next meal out, etc. That makes it a guide to what will be big next.
Now, as ever, we do bring you this with the disclaimer that no one should feel forced into a trend. If you like it, use it. If you don't, move on. There will be another one along in a minute. So this is just for fun. I mean, last year, I seem to recall, it was all about mushrooms. I mean, what happened to that?
I've seen mushrooms everywhere, have you not?
Well,
I've seen loads of mushrooms.
I was in a pastry shop in Italy over Christmas and there were a lot of mushroom-shaped cakes. Does that count? I mean, I thought that was quite weird. But I don't understand the mushroom one. Is this not for me? Am I Gen X? I'm too old for mushrooms.
I don't think the mushroom trend was coming for you. I suppose I've seen it. Yeah, it has been for the younger demographic on pencil cases, on stationery, on bed linen, little bedroom mushroom lights. Oh, yeah. You know, do you remember when it was all avocados? Do you remember the avocado thing?
I do remember the avocado, and before that, the pineapple.
Yes.
I mean, maybe it's because my children aren't, you know, rushing off to buy new pencil cases. But I mean, I pulled up for the predicts last year. So it was about weird core design, mushroom decor and fantasy art. And so it said last year that fantasy mushroom art searches, I mean niche, were up 170%. Now, as with all these things, it doesn't tell you what the baseline is. You know, you could go from two people searching for fantasy mushroom art to 25. And I can't do percentages, but I'm guessing that's
quite a big increase.
A big,
yes.
Here's the one. DIY mushroom decor was up 77%. I mean, I don't... Those are just words. I don't even know what those words mean in that order. DIY decor mushrooms possibly makes more sense. But yeah. So we're talking, Sophie, and we are videoing this. You're in your office with, actually, your fantasy woodland scene behind you.
Well, yes.
Has it got little... Do I need to zoom in? Are there little mushrooms at the bottom of your trees?
I know, I missed a trick there, didn't I? I didn't put any mushrooms in. I should have done. But I think there is... Yeah, I think there's something... Because also I think culinary-wise, mushrooms have really been big. It hasn't just been interiors. It's been in cooking. There's been lots of talk about psychedelic mushrooms. Maybe, Kate, this is where we haven't been doing clearly enough research.
I was going to say.
Maybe you've got to take your psychedelics and then suddenly your DIY mushroom decor takes on its whole new kind of life.
Makes a whole load more sense.
Yes.
I mean, mushrooms are, I remember this during the lockdown, we ate a lot of mushrooms because they are apparently very good for your immune system. But, you know, whether that counts as a trend, I don't know.
I don't know where these things come from. But I think, you know, you've also got listed here funky house decor, weirdcore bedroom, you know, everything being slightly weird and kooky and left field.
I got to say, I know we've got to move on to what's coming up, but I never... You can talk me through this because I can't be the only one. I never quite understood what weirdcore bedroom decor was. I mean, is that what my generation would have called, I don't know, emo or goth? Or is it, I mean, what's a weirdcore bedroom? Without getting too 50 Shades of Grey, which is, that might be a whole different thing.
That's a different core bedroom, I think.
It's a different kind of core.
What I'm seeing that I'm enjoying with all of this is with the trends are getting more and more unpredictable, and I'm really here for that. After, you know, I've been, you know, you and I both been in the industry for a very, very long time, and I just remember it was like, oh, here's another new ways with neutrals, here's another Scandi minimal, and they felt really repetitive. But no more.
Well, that's true. And I know that you've said when we were prepping for this show that you had quite an interesting conversation with someone in Paris about what we might term more real trends rather than the mad ones. But as I say, this is what people are pinning on Pinterest. So, you know, let's get into it and have a bit of fun.
There's a Kate Watson-Smythe weirdcore bedroom makeover coming to Instagram soon.
Yeah, no, let's just say there's not. But at least perhaps I understand. No, I'm not sure I do understand what it is. You haven't answered that question. You went sliding off in different directions. The point is, you don't know what weirdcore is.
I don't really, Kate. I don't really. I mean, it's making me feel extremely old and unhip. So I've got no idea either what a weirdcore bedroom is. But I bet you it's got some mushrooms in it, is all I'm going to say.
So the first one I thought was interesting that came up on this report, because it's called bow stacking. And this actually is written down in the report in relation to fashion. But, you know, we all know what starts in fashion ends up in interiors. And actually, there were bows everywhere in Christmas decorations last year, weren't there? So maybe we're ahead of the fashion lot over here in our little interiors corner. I mean, I saw a lot of Christmas trees. The one I particularly remember, and I know it's late to be talking about Christmas, but Chelsea of the house that Black built, she's been living in her renovation house for about 2 or 3 years now. She's just had a baby. I'm guessing time is short. She probably can't find the decorations in the same way that I can't. So she just made this fabulous, gigantic bow out of a dust sheet and tied it on the tree, and that was that. I mean, it looked amazing.
What? Literally one bow on a tree?
One, but I mean, it was huge. It was like 3 foot wide and went right at the top of the tree, and it trailed all the way down. It looked lovely. But, you know, so that's bow going to extreme. But there were bows. I've got some candlesticks with bows on that I was sent by host home. There's a bow thing going on in interiors.
There is a bow thing. I did a blog post on it actually a few weeks ago because I was seeing it too. And it's, and like you say, it's coming through in fashion, either just like a really simple dress but with an enormous bow on it. Or I read something about how this super stylish kind of way to dress was, oh, it was Farrah Store on Substack. That's who was talking about it. She was talking about iconic bits of style. And she mentioned some celebrity whose name I obviously can't remember. But she was saying about this woman who wore a really simple outfit, looked really understated from the front, but it's when she turned around, she had this incredible oversized bow in the back of her head, and that's what looked really super cool. So I think that's what you're saying, similarly to Chelsea from House of Black Belt. It's that idea of minimal, but then a bit of unexpected maximalism coming in.
I mean, it's an interesting one, the bows, because I love that idea of a gigantic bow on an outfit. Gigantic. But I mean, you've got to be careful. You don't look like, you know, a six-year-old girl going to a party.
Yeah, I mean, Kate, if I wore an enormous bow in the back of my head, I would look ridiculous.
I've got a problem with bows in hair because for me, that's really 80s.
Oh,
you know, that's taking me right back to the sort of Princess Di,
yes,
1980s
Fergie.
Fergie bow, didn't she? So I can't be looking at that. I need my bows to come in different places. So for me, I ain't going to be doing bows in fashion.
Right.
But
no, I can't
bows in interior. You know, the idea of a sort of, I don't know, a massive, but if you've got one of those sitting rooms where you don't have to have your furniture all round the edges because you've got a bigger room, then a massive bow on the back of an armchair could look quite pretty to bring interest. I've just thought of that.
What about bows on the back of dining chairs, or is that a bit wedding?
That might be a bit wedding or a bit Christmas, you see.
Yes,
I think
I did the
point
Christmas.
Of making it work, you've got to go unexpected, I think. But I'm now thinking I maybe want to design a light, a pendant light, which is a massive brass bow.
Yeah, like a big bow chandelier light.
Yeah.
That would be gorgeous.
Yeah, so we'll have a product meeting after this. Everybody hold fire. Sophie and I have got an idea.
I think the bow thing can be kept classy. But I suppose what we're saying is these are big bows. These aren't tiny little shoelace bows. They're big bows.
They're big bows. And the other thing is, I do remember we had a conversation on here a while ago about how, of course, every generation thinks they're discovering the thing for the first time. So your Gen Z probably never seen a bow, possibly don't even know how to tie a bow. And we feel immediately it's a bit 80s and we're not going there, but it feels new and fresh to those who haven't seen it before.
Oh, I tell you what, actually, I've just had a thought of where I've done a nice little bow trend. See, I am before my time every now and then. Do you remember the new kitchen makeover that I did last year? And I had it's quite an old-fashioned thing to do, but I kind of remembered it from back in the day. I did a rolled blind and then used a bow, a fabric bow, to keep it up in my kitchen above the sink. We'll post a picture to our insiders so they can remember what that looked like. So that's my, and that was like a, and I wanted a really big bow. It has meant that I don't really use the blind. It's become a bit of a decorative thing.
Yeah, it's too much of a faff.
Oh, way too much of a faff to undo a bow and redo it every morning. But I don't need to because it's just in the kitchen. So yeah, thinking about how you can bring bows to maybe tying the side of cushions, adding them to blinds, like you said, maybe on upholstery. Yeah, I think we've got some, it's all in the detail, isn't it?
I think that one is a trend that's coming. So again, either you like it or you're just going to run screaming. I think I might do bows, but they ain't going to be velvet. That's going to be my 1980s line in the sand, no velvet bows. But moving on to what Pinterest is calling the proper interiors trends. And I don't know if this is a trend or a continuation, but I think it's encouraging to see the numbers going up, and that's upcycling.
Oh my God, that's so not new.
Well, it's, but what's interesting is that they're talking here about boomers and Gen X.
Yeah.
So they've got fashion, that's us, will transform basic tees to unique to me with whatever snips and shreds they can find. But small scrap wood project DIY are up by 1,220%.
Wow.
Craft work with waste material is up by 140%. And scrap quilts and patterns with leftover fabric also up 80%. So while we might not feel it's new, I think that's really encouraging and positive, this idea of using leftovers.
Yeah, so like you say, there's nothing new about upcycling or crafting. We've been seeing that growing year on year. I'd actually say for the last 10 years, because when we launched the Great Interior Design Challenge, that TV show I did for BBC Two, back in 2013, it's like 11 years ago we started filming that show. It was all, that was the upcycling trend in interiors of taking junk furniture and reimagining it into something new. So what is this telling us that Pinterest are now, like 10 years later, declaring this a trend? What does that even mean?
I do think it's really true. And this is one of the reasons where I think we've said it before, but it bears repeating. You know, fashion trends, I think, are quick. There's quick turnover. There's fast fashion. That's a whole different issue. But we do change our clothes perhaps more than our interiors. And interiors trends, people panic about, you know, should I have a trend? Will it go out of fashion? Interiors trends are, generally speaking, pretty slow moving. And of course, there have been people who've been upcycling, they didn't call it that, since the 60s and 70s, painting furniture and redoing things. You know, it's got this now new name, upcycling. But you're right, it was coming in, it was on TV, perhaps more than it had been before when you did Great Interior Design Challenge. And, you know, the fact that it's now suddenly kind of booming on Pinterest is great, because I think there's always been people who worry that it's going to look a bit scratty or a bit contrived, or, you know, but now it's cool. And I've really noticed it actually in fashion with patching clothes. You know, so if you've got a moth-eaten hole in a jumper, you know, it's now kind of cool to make a patch or embroider something or sew something over the top. So again, that will come into interiors. You know, it's the painting furniture, it's, you know, putting a patch on a cushion that can look cool. So I'm really here for that. And I think it's great that that one's taking off again.
Yeah, no, I think that could be really interesting. What I'm hearing as well as the sustainability benefits, it's also an exercise in creativity, isn't it? People enjoying sitting down, stitching, quilting, painting. I mean, small scrap wood project. I mean, what? I mean, I'm already like, what even is that? What is a small scrap wood project?
I tell you what that is, because that's what my younger son, the art school student, is all over. You know, finding bits of leftover wood somewhere, and he's making them into shelves, or he's making them into sort of, you know, slightly niche cabinets that can hold his tools. I mean, it's just making. And it, I mean, it's not just art students, obviously, but I think it's, you know, looking at salvaging. And in the house in Italy, we had strict instructions to the builders that they absolutely weren't to throw anything away. And they were a bit baffled, because the garden is full of sort of random old bits of wood. But, you know, we're repurposing them to make a shelf here. There's a kitchen where there was a kickboard that never existed, you know, a plinth to hide the legs. So we've repurposed an old shelf into that. So I think it's just, you know, if you've got the space to store all those things, because you never know where you might use them or where you might need a little extra shelf or something. So here for that.
No, it's true. We're about to make over Arthur's bedroom finally. I think I've already mentioned this quite a few times on the podcast. We're still not quite there, but we've done a design and he's having a whole new sort of desk storage area created. And his dad is obviously in the best position to help build that. But Arthur's very much like, I want to use all the scraps of wood that dad's been storing down the woodshed. He doesn't want Tom to buy any new wood. I think Tom's got views on that, because it's actually not always that easy to repurpose wood in its entirety.
Yes.
So it is a bit of a balance between actually the practicalities and of what you actually need. But anyway, it's interesting that Arthur is like 100%, I want it to all be recycled. Like that, he feels quite passionate about that we use old wood.
And the other thing is, if you're doing that, you are creating something that's bespoke and unique to you. And that's also, you know, great. So you get a bit of your own personality, your own individuality, you know, all good. Now, I think we should move on, because the next one coming up from Pinterest is potentially the new mushroom.
What is it?
This year, Gen X and millennials will commit to aquatecture.
Aquatecture.
Small aquarium designs and over-the-top turtle terrariums.
Terrariums.
Aquatic architecture will be the hot new way to style a home. Searches for small aquarium designs are up by 245%.
Wow.
Fish tank theme ideas, 410%. So there you go.
I love the idea of having a small aquarium or a turtle terrarium in my home. You weren't expecting me to say that, weren't we? Look at your face. for me to be all guff and gumble and what an outrage. I'm listening to you going, oh, yes. Where can I install a small aquarium in my home is actually what my...
I only want an aquarium if it's one of those ones that's like slightly replacing a wall.
Yes.
So it's about £25,000 worth of aquarium.
Absolutely.
I don't know how you clean it. I'm not into a goldfish in a tank. Tried that. The goldfish went rusty.
Ugh.
Got mould. Apparently that's a thing. It was weird. Didn't last very long. but yeah, I sort of, no, that's not one for me.
No. Oh, I quite like the idea of it. But like you say, it's feeling like quite a high maintenance trend and quite an expensive one. So maybe I'll just buy like some beautiful aquatic fish wallpaper or something like that. Like a fishy mural.
I love a bit of
fishy mural.
There's a Fornacetti one with fish on it, which I always thought would look great in a downstairs loo.
Much easier. You don't have to clean the tank out. So, yeah.
You see, this is the point about trends. You can do them how you want.
Yes, yes. But I'm quite interested with the whole aquatecture. I'm just getting visions of Jason Momoa and Aquaman, and I quite fancy having him in my front room as well, if I'm honest.
Well, that's a whole different podcast.
Right, next.
Moving on.
What's the next trend, Kate?
It's called bee jelly, which weirdly my sons use for jealous, but it's not that. They'll say, oh, I'm really jelly of that, meaning jealous. But this is not that. This is bee jelly. From home decor to couture to beauty ideas, a whole mood will bubble up in 2024, inspired by your favourite, moot point, invertebrate, jellyfish. Gen Z and millennials are driving this squishy aesthetic. A jellyfish haircut, do not even ask me. Searches for that are up by 615%. I don't know what that is, but searches for jellyfish lamps are up by 95%. Now, I don't know what a jellyfish lamp is, but I'm thinking lava lamp. And I do love a lava lamp.
Oh, this is so good, isn't it? This is so
good. It's quite niche, isn't it? But I mean, if you've got 482 million people on Pinterest and these searches are this big, it's quite a lot of people.
We've got also in the stats, jellyfish umbrella up 195%. One of those.
I don't even know what that is. Umbrella.
Well, I'm imagining that will be like a clear brolly with lots of twisty tendrils.
Oh, because that's really practical in a high wind, isn't it? In a high wind on a crowded London street. Yeah, really. Great. Nice one, Pinterest. I actually can't even.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Now we're getting to something which might be interesting. And this is called kitchens with an S in it, as in kitsch. Kitsch kitchens. This year...
K-I-T-S.
Yes.
C-H-E-N-S.
Yeah. And this is one for the Gen X and the boomers.
Oh, right. We're back in.
We're back in.
Right.
We're back in the game. They will spruce up their cooking areas with thrifted finds, vintage appliances and jarring pops of paint. No minimalist aesthetic is safe. This is music to Sophie's ears.
Oh, I was going to say, been there, done that.
The numbers are much smaller, but, you know, perhaps realistic and you know, of a sort of ongoing upward trend. Eclectic kitchen decor up 50%. Kitschy kitchen, 75%. Green kitchen paint, 55%. And this is the biggest one, whatever it means. Eccentric kitchen is up 160% in the searches. And finally, retro pink, 40%. Now, I've got a pink kitchen, but I'm guessing that retro pink doesn't mean my soft, subtle plaster pink. I feel that might be a bit more Barbie because that's the retro pink.
I think so. I've seen loads and loads of this on my Instagram feed because I follow lots and lots of colourful accounts. I've seen loads of retro pink kitchens. And it's quite a sugary candy floss Barbie pink, you're right. And all those kind of ice cream Miami Beach shades all used together. So you've got the lilac, the peppermint, the sky blue, the pink. And it is really kitsch. And I think what's fun about this is everyone's usually so blimmin' serious about their kitchen.
Well, because it's an expensive room.
Yeah. So they all want to do it grey or taupe or stone or pebble or limestone or yada, 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 yada. And what this is telling me is people are actually prepared to throw that caution to the wind and have the kitchen that really makes their hearts sing. And indeed, a kitchen which is more about expressing their self, you know, their identity, their sense of style. That's where I think eclectic kitchen's quite a key trend, eccentric kitchen. These are the words that are basically saying, can I have a kitchen that doesn't look like anybody else's?
Well, and also it is a continuation of that, that I don't want to call it a trend, but a mood that we've seen coming through, which is that notion of a kitchen that doesn't look like a kitchen. So, you know, it's not sort of rows of sleek, gloss, handleless cupboards where everything's hidden away. It's a room which has some cooking stuff and some prep space in it, but you might have a car boot sale oil painting propped up on an open shelf next to your Magimix.
Oh, I so happen to have exactly that. This is definitely my trend, isn't it? I mean, even the brand new Smeg appliances that I've chosen for my new kitchen, they've got like little old fashioned style knobs on them. So even though it's a digital oven, and it has a digital display, the actual control button is harks back to, you know, a vintage style. You're right. I've got all the latest tech, but I've also got like, yeah, my car boot sale paintings and knickknacks sitting next to my really modern appliances.
And I've got exactly that in my kitchen where, you know, I've got that on my sliding cupboard doors. I've got that very retro glass, which when it's in a daisy pattern, and when the builders came to put it in, they were had loads of conversations about, oh, it's Nana Pat's house. This is taking me back. And I was like, all right, lads, I'm personally finding it quite fashionable at the moment. But I've got that next to, you know, a high tech copper oven and a gas hob. And so it's that mix, but it's rooms in which you cook and eat, which, you know, are not necessarily a million miles away from your sitting room aesthetic. Whereas I think there used to be quite a big leap sometimes between a very sleek modern kitchen and your sitting room. And now it's all kind of blending in. And
which
green
is,
kitchens, interesting.
Be. Yes.
I thought we were done with green kitchens, but they're back and here.
No, they're still really, really strong. I did a live with Magnet last week and they said kitchen continues to be really strong. But you remember the really dark green kitchen we saw a lot of? I think Duvol really set that trend with their dark kitchen, didn't they? What Magnet are telling me they're seeing come through is more olives and like more different types of greens. Mid-tone greens, pale greens. It doesn't have to be that very dark green. Right, what's next?
Western Gothic. This is another
Crikey,
one.
What is
these
that?
Are just words. I don't know what these are. Meet Western Goth, your soon-to-be decor obsession that will mix vintage Americana chic with deep, moody hues. Expect to see Gen Z and boomers DIY in style with dark fringes and darker paints. So again, a bit of searches here. I mean, I don't know what this means. Western bedding ideas are up by 310%. Western mirror, 125%. Western Gothic, 145%. I mean, what I'm taking out of this is this word that's coming back and again, DIY, thrift, upcycle, vintage. All these trends are pulling out this word.
A lot of nostalgia, aren't they? Do you know what I'm visualising when I listen to this?
That painting with the couple and the pitchfork.
What? That?
Is that not Western Gothic?
Painting with a couple and a pitchfork? I've got no idea what you're talking about.
I'll Google it while you talk.
You Google it while I talk.
Safe time.
I'm seeing Abigail Ahern in here. So it's quite, so all those inky dark colours that she's really famous for. But I know Abigail gets loads of her inspiration. Her pinboards are full of Americana and kind of American architecture, like big boulder kind of like fireplaces, like they're saying, lots of stud work, lots of fringing, lots of like really slubby textures. So it's quite a kind of like bold and masculine shaggy look. Come on then, show me the picture of the two people with the pitchfork.
Well, that's actually American Gothic, that very famous painting by Grant Wood. It's not Western Gothic. I think it's the word Gothic. So, you know, moving on now, you know what that is. But yes, I think you could be right. Dark. So Abigail Ahern, she's back. I mean, she never left.
I think she really nails this look. And the other person who's doing this look is Winnie Williams, you know, the poodle and blonde textile brand, and she's got a new mid-century house. And is she calling? She's not calling it Dollywood. She's calling it
Follywood.
Follywood. That's
you're right.
Right.
And it's that. It's that kind of Palm Beach retro Western fringing.
Yeah, but it's, she loves a bit of cowgirl.
Yeah, oh yeah, she does. Yeah.
She loves a bit of fringing and a bit of a cowboy hat and a cowboy boot, but putting her own spin on it. So there'd be two designers to look at.
She's doing with the fringes and the Western goth thing, but she hasn't gone quite for such dark colours. So, you know, there's there's ways through this.
Different takes.
Right, moving on. So the next one. Now, this to me, I can't... If you've got core on the end of it, I am not here for it. I do not want core. Sigh. This is a heavy sigh, but... Cafe core.
What's offensive about that?
Well, I mean, it's just sticking core on the end of it. It's like every scandal's got to have gate on the end of it.
Oh, okay.
And also...
Every trend has core on the
end
of it.
I mean, this year, at-home coffee stations will become the new way to, and I'm quoting here, forgive me, espresso yourself. I mean, that's just making a cup of coffee at home. It's not cafe core. However... Boomers and Gen X will drive searches for everything from cafe chalkboard aesthetic to coffee station decor. But get this, coffee bar styling is up by 1,125%. Coffee station decor, 145%. And I don't understand this one. Maybe this is quite German. Cafe with a K aesthetic is up by 820%.
Ooh.
I mean, what do you mean a coffee station? It's just where the kettle is and where you've got the coffee.
Oh, you're missing the... I have a coffee station. I love...
You hate coffee.
No, I don't. I love coffee.
Well, you don't. You like hot milk with a bit of coffee in it. That's not the same thing. I am a coffee purist.
I love it. And the way I've done it is I've just created like a whole corner of my kitchen... dedicated to the joy of, I'm going to take it out beyond coffee because I also like tea. So my sort of hot drink station, shall we say, but that doesn't sound... so
I've got a real problem with the word hot drink.
Ooh.
I can't bear it. Do you want a hot drink?
What else do I call it?
I don't know. I just feel, if someone says to me, do you want a drink? That to me means alcohol. Yes, please.
Yes.
Or
yes,
do you want a cup of coffee or some tea? I don't... Do you want a hot drink? I don't...
Well, there are so many hot drinks that you can have, though, Kate. On my coffee station...
On your hot drink station?
I've got coffee.
Yeah.
And I have decaf coffee. And I have tea. And I have Earl Grey. And I have rooibos as standard. But then I've also got a no-caf cough. And I've got a selection of herbals and a hot chocolate.
Well, I've got all those, but they're just in the cupboard. They're not... It's not a coffee station.
I tell you what I need. I need a chalkboard sign.
We are done.
I need a chalkboard sign and then I can show you my hot drinks menu when you come to my house.
Oh, God, I'm not coming. I am never coming again. I tell you what, though, I tell you what's interesting about that one, that idea that you're trying to turn, you know, your home into a bit of a cafe, because we did have that with that very soft industrial style that came up in, I'm going to go with the early to mid noughties, which
I
was,
think it was more,
you know,
like a 2010, 2015.
Okay, well, mid, that's mid.
Like an exposed light bulb, a metro tile, and some exposed conduit piping.
What you had in that was everybody's kitchen looked like the local pizza restaurant. So, I mean, it's that, isn't it? We've moved from the local pizza restaurant now to making everything look like a cafe. So the last Pinterest one is hot metals. And this, interesting, after years of the domination of brass, this is silver tones and bold chrome. Metallics will make their way into the mainstream in 2024. I mean, that's an odd sentence. Metallics will become mainstream. Like, hello, they are. However, I think the point would be that Gen Z and millennials are trading in their trusty neutrals. Don't know what that means in metallics. Anyhow, for something a bit more hardcore. Aluminium furniture, 45%. Aluminium door design, up 70%. What I'm taking away from this is that the dominance of brass moving away, chrome is back, baby! Which is great news for all of those who couldn't afford brass the first time round, and so our chrome is now back in. Very happy with that.
Oh, I've got brass in the kitchen in the downstairs loo, and I love them. So again, I think, you know, Also, from an interior design point of view, can I just say that actually your metallic should go with your colour scheme? It shouldn't be about what's in fashion. And I would say a brass tap goes better with a warmer colour palette, and silver tones go well with all your greys and cooler colour palettes. So I would just throw that out there for a minute.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I've got kind of warm colours in this house, you know, soft pinks and chocolates and rusty reds, and I've got chrome.
I've got bronze
on my light switches, but I haven't seen, and maybe my budget doesn't go that far, I've not seen bronze taps.
Yeah, they're not so common,
but
are they?
The joy of chrome is that, you know, or the joy of bronze is that it goes with either brass or chrome, so you've got choices.
Well, I tell you one thing I saw quite a lot of, and this is a perfect segue to bring us into our recent trip to Paris, is I saw a lot of metallic embroidery and stitching.
Yeah, and I think gold. I think luxury. We're going luxury, aren't we? So yes, interesting. We'll leave Pinterest and their somewhat mad trend prediction report, and we'll go to what we saw in Paris. Now, Deco Off is the annual sort of launch of fabric collections, textile collections, trims, wallpapers. It's all that sort of soft furnishing.
And I think the important thing to mention is it's the global. It's very international.
It's very American, isn't it, this year? A lot of Americans there.
I launched my fabric collection with Harlequin back in September at Focus in Chelsea Harbour. And then I went out this year to launch it to the international stage, which, you know, obviously I met lots of people from Europe. I met some lovely South Africans who are going to get the launch in April. So it hasn't come out in South Africa yet. But I met a lot of Americans. The Americans kind of take over Paris, don't they? And hundreds and thousands of them fly in to see all the European fabric houses, which is why obviously Harlequin, as part of the Sanderson Design Group, were there. And I had a really lovely special lunch. We had a little VIP lunch with the American clients who had come over. And I have to say, Kate, I love the Americans.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got such a boost. They are such, maybe it's the sunshine that they get, but they are just such happy, fun, flamboyant, amazing people. I got a real boost of energy from hanging out with the Americans at Deco Off. And yet they have a lot of beige in their interiors, don't they? It seems like this, they're really colourful, larger than life people, and then they sort of are drawn towards this. There's a lot of neutrals going on. So I'd love to dig into that.
I'm sure you're working quite hard to change
that. I'm working quite hard.
I, on the other hand, hung out with quite a lot of quite grumpy Parisian waiters. And the cafe we were in, I was with Up PR, who organised it. And Jess, who'd organised the trip, asked the waiter for the egg menu, because we all wanted eggs for breakfast. And he just looked at her and he went, omelette or scrambled? And she went, yes, no, great, but I'd like the menu, because maybe someone would like a poached egg or a fried egg. And he went, omelette or scrambled, which, let's be honest, is basically the same thing. so, yeah, I had a slightly different experience, but we saw lots. And I'm just going to quickly say that to go back to the green, I saw a lot of green on the textiles. And I don't know quite how to describe this green, because on the one hand, I want to go that it's the kind of vibrant grass green, but it's not that harsh, and it's not an emerald, but it's a sort of, it's actually a beautiful green that's like muddy grass or darker grass. A lot of that green with Kit Kemp, GPJ Baker, I saw it at Arte, the wallpaper. So that's a nice, strong, beautiful green coming through. A lot of that.
And I suppose as well, that does go with a lot of the neutral. You know, the neutrals are still out in full force, aren't they? I mean, I didn't get to go around all the showrooms as you did. I was very much focusing on my own launch and my own collection, not a sludgy piece of green inside. So that was definitely, well, everybody knows about my collection and the colour palette for that. But I did bump into the most fabulous podcaster, Dennis Scully. He has a very popular American podcast called The Business of Home. And he came into the showroom and he was chatting trends with me, and he was shrieking about quiet luxury. He was like, oh my gosh, everything's just this quiet luxury, which I think is a kind of like, if we remember Succession, did you watch the HBO?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it.
Whole aesthetic. So this was about this billionaire family in America, this sort of like multimedia oligarch, if you like.
They're based on the Murdochs.
Yes.
It's a documentary.
Kind of, even though they've denied that. Yeah. Yes, yes, I hear what you're saying. But what was interesting in terms of the aesthetics of that, in terms of the wardrobe and their interior spaces, was it was really, really no label, no bling, very unflashy. And yet you could kind of tell that very simple jacket he was wearing was made out of like the best mohair and probably cost $30,000. So it's that.
Well, and it's that. Yeah, it's that Mark Laura piano, isn't it? Who were there at Paris, although I didn't see it. But it's about, yeah, there's not a label in sight. The colours are rich, but quite neutral. Really high-end fabric.
No pattern.
No pattern. No high-end fabric, plain. Soft, neutral colours. It screams expensive, but there's no overt way to see it.
Well, it doesn't scream expensive. It's I think it does. Opposite of screaming expensive.
I think you can tell it's really expensive.
Well, I think you've got an educated eye. I think it's that thing that they don't want to scream that they've got lots of money. And it's almost like if you know, you know. And if you don't know, you're not one of us, so we don't care about you anyway. Because I think traditionally screaming expensive was the bling. It was like having the little red tag on your Prada trainers. It was about having the Gucci logos on your loafers. You know, all of these brand logos.
Yeah, we've moved away from that.
Let people know that your Gucci loafers cost £800. This is not screaming. It's actually not letting you know. And it's kind of like, if you're in our club, you'll know how much my clothes cost. And I think, again, it's the same with the interiors. It might look really plain to me. It looks really plain, really bland. There's not even any art on the walls. There's hardly any decorative accessories. But my goodness, did it cost a lot of money.
But you've always said that. You've always made that point that it costs a lot more to do a minimal interior because it's got to be perfect. There's no hiding place. Whereas, you know, it's much easier to do a maximalist interior because you can build up a bunch of cushions from the high street and stick on a slightly more expensive, you know, or stick on your granny's patchwork throw that you've inherited, some cheap cushions, and then a very expensive picture on the wall or something. You know, you can layer up all the price points.
And you can mix high and low together much more easily in a maximalist interior. So you can get your high street bargains in, your vintage pieces, mix them with a few high-end pieces, and the whole thing looks fabulous. But yes, there's no slipping in a car boot sale piece in a quiet luxury interior. So anyway, there was a lot of that in Paris, as one would expect, and the Parisians are famously into that kind of vibe anyway. The other trends that Dennis mentioned, which I loved, he called it mob's wife lux. And I was like, oh, I'm here for that. When he said that, I kind of imagined Lady Gaga in the House of Gucci movie. So
I've seen that in fashion coming through, isn't it? And that's the absolute opposite of the one before, which just goes to show how insane trends are. Because this is about the label. This is about dressing more bling. This is, you know, and this comes back to the Pinterest one. It's, you know, eyeshadow, you know, bright aquamarine eyeshadow.
Shoulder pads, big hair, big jewels, massive necklaces, really high glossy paint and heels. And I can just imagine how that would translate into interior. And I think it's got a touch of the 1980s bling about it.
Well, there is a sofa that's been going around on Instagram, which is a sort of silver sofa, which has been popping up and down. And I think that's the start of it. So, yes, lots of food for thought there.
So there, gosh, I need a little lie down after all that, Kate. That was a lot to digest, wasn't it? And I think it just gives hopefully everybody a bit of an insight into how disparate all the trends are now, from magic mushrooms all the way down to quiet luxury. I mean, there really is something for everyone. So I guess what we're saying all to you is, this is what's going on in the world of interiors, in the crazy world of trends, and it's all about what lands with you, what resonates with you. And then there's, you know, use the right Pinterest search, basically, and fill your Pinterest board. You'll find whatever you want.
The message is, go with what you like, and if it's a bit vintage, better.
And I'm here for the jelly. That's what I'm going to get into
next. There you go.
Yeah, the jellyfish trend. Watch this space. Now, before we go, may I just remind you about our great Indoors Insiders Club, where for less than a posh coffee a month, you can enjoy a ad-free listening, a weekly bumper newsletter, invitations to our free webinars where we all get to meet up and hang out. So show your support for the show, give us some love, and we promise to use your subscription towards improving the podcast and creating even more delicious content for you. To find out more, visit thegreatindoorspodcast.com.
We'll be back next week, so all that remains is for us to thank our sponsors, Natural Mat. To learn more about Natural Mat's organic beds, mattresses and beddings, head to their website at naturalmat.co.uk or visit one of their showrooms in London, Knutsford, Devon and the Cotswolds. Natural Mat are delighted to offer The Great Indoors listeners 10% off their first order by using the code THEGREATINDOORS, either online or in one of the showrooms, valid until the 30th of April 2024.
So thanks so much to Natural Mat and our producer, Sarah Cudden of Feast Collective, and of course to you, our lovely listeners.
And we'll see you in The Great Indoors!